always nice to welcome people back that have kind of gone on and made good and followed a dream. But the Quinte region's own Chris Cadell, I should say downtown Toronto's own now, but you said you've got an opportunity to kind of rest for a little bit of time. What are summer months like for you? Because you're doing these shows where you're playing to 20-some thousand people in an NHL arena, and then you got to go back. You have a few days off. Is travel basically just part of the business?
Absolutely. It's a little bit, it's hectic in the summer, mostly because you don't generally do long tours. It's mostly festivals on weekends. So most of my summer is leaving, you know, Wednesday or Thursday, coming home Sunday or Monday, and then, you know, repeat the next weekend sort of thing. So it's a little hectic, but it's nice to be home for a few days in between and not being absolutely gone the whole time.
My assumption is when you were in the, you know, late teens, early 20s, you hop in a vehicle and you go whatever distance and you get paid whatever you get paid, and you get to a point where you want either creature comforts or familiarity or a different standard. When you first got out into the business, when you look back at it, are you amazed at how the business is a really rough business at the start?
Yeah, I mean, I got really lucky. We had some good success with the stuff around, you know, Belleville. There was lots of places to play when I was coming up around the area and up into like Kingston and stuff like that. And that'd always be on weekends and stuff. We never really did any hard touring, but when I moved to Toronto, I ended up getting a pretty major gig right away with Fifi Dobson playing bass, and I was on a tour bus and, you know, got the early comforts of that sort of thing right away. So I was pretty lucky on that end. So I didn't have to do a whole lot of the grueling van tours across Canada in the middle of winter.
But it's an interesting country to play too, because I mean, the pond jumps that you can do in the United States or in parts of Europe where it's pretty short. I mean, certainly the kind of the Montreal or Quebec City to Windsor corridor isn't too bad, but there's some, there's certainly some long slugs. When you look back at your career, and certainly there's the stuff that you do on your own or you're in a band, is there a preference of what to do? Because sometimes you get a chance to play in front of thousands and thousands of people, but other times perhaps you like a piece of music more and you're only sharing it with 50 or 100 people at one time. Is there kind of benefits and negatives to both? Do you prefer one or the other?
I wouldn't say I prefer one or the other. I mean, it in Canada, it's very much, especially in my career, where, you know, you do go out, you play a huge festival for, you know, 10, 20,000 people, and then you come home and play a local club for 10.
Right.
And, you know, the one in 10, you're hanging with your buddies and doing stuff that you love. And, you know, that's just as fun as, you know, and just as energizing as playing in front of, you know, tons of people in a festival audience. It all depends. I've been very lucky that I've gotten to play with great bands and bands that I love the music of. So
yeah,
I've never really had that sort of grind of playing things I don't really like. I've been very fortunate to, you know, really love the artists that I play with as a sideman, and, you know, some great guys around town that that we play regularly locally.
You're somebody who, and I always want to make sure I get the wording correct, because you do your own music and you work with others, you collaborate. And I watched a documentary on Netflix, and I don't know how the feeling is or the wording is, but it was talking about hired guns, these super talented musicians that go out and they play with somebody because it's a paying gig. In your instance, has there been both times where you've gone out and maybe, you know, this helps pay the rent versus I just love doing this, or have you felt really fortunate in those opportunities that you've had to work with others where you also enjoyed the process, the music, and spending time with these people?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've been very fortunate. My first kind of major gig that I got was playing with Sass Jordan, and I was always a fan of her music before, and then you get to know her and she's amazing and her husband Derek is awesome, and he was a huge help to my playing and stuff like that. And being a hired gun, they always had me in the studio with them, and treated me really great. And I was always a big fan of Colin James. I got that gig after that, and I've been fortunate enough to kind of play with my heroes, and and I take that as a learning experience, really. Mm-hmm. I get to learn so much from these amazing artists and great singers, and all the musicians that go along with playing with major artists it's pretty cool. Like, musically, although, I'd obviously love to be an artist myself and have put out a couple of records, but it's mostly the instrument and the musicianship that is so much fun, and getting better and executing at a high standard is just as fun for me.
I remember getting a chance to see the band Thornley probably about 20 years ago when I was going to Loyalist and Matt and Joe's, and then I saw them at the Shark Tank, and watching an individual in Ian Thornley where he seems to kind of get either lost or transformed in pieces of the music. And I had a chance to see him with Big Wreck down in Columbus, and it was 15,000 or 20,000 people at the one show. And when artists love it, it seems that it's an authentic thing that people can really resonate with. I think that people at a show can tell when something's fake or real. Is that something that do you notice it as another musician? I'm sure you've probably either jammed or played with somebody that you just say, these people love it versus these people are kind of just doing it for a paycheck. Does that kind of go from person to person in a group that's playing music?
Yeah, and it can happen in kind of within a band, and that's generally when somebody doesn't last. Right. If somebody's just going through the motions and isn't really passionate about what they do, they generally don't stick around very long. And I I've been very fortunate that I haven't really been involved in a lot of things where people aren't as passionate as the artists,
right,
to make it sound good. And in my sort of career as a sideman, I love the, kind of sticking to the side and letting them do their thing. I don't mind not being the focal point and, creating something where the artists can do their thing easily and not have to think about whether I'm going to be good or not, I guess.
This is, I guess, as close as you're going to get as for a home show this year, which will be Base 31 in Picton. A couple of days before that, I think you're playing the NHL rinks out west with with Creed. When you're doing those, outside of stadiums, they're kind of the biggest thing you can do. Is there a pinch yourself moment with them? Because obviously your talent speaks for itself, because all these other artists have seen the talent, but do you ever visualize the version of yourself going to Nicholson, just starting out, just trying to make yourself, and seeing the transition and seeing the maturation of your talent and what you've had an opportunity to do in your career?
Absolutely. I, especially in gigs like that, you're kind of just wandering around, and there's members of whatever band just kind of hanging out and catering, and you go up to the stage and you see that sort of ice level view of an arena or a stadium. Like, I remember playing the Sky Dome for the first time, and when you're on the field and look up, it's a crazy different perspective than looking down on baseball players, you know.
Right.
It's really you know, it takes you back for a second, but then at the end of the day, it's just another gig. You just got to do your job.
Just about 15 minutes ago, I was chatting with Kim Mitchell, who's got a local show coming up, and we were talking about the change in technology, how so much is really going to put a heightened human experience on arts and culture, that we're going to want it more and more as technology takes over. Is there a responsibility component? Like when you go up and this is a business, you are working for money. Do you feel a responsibility, or do you think that that can take away from the creative part of what you're doing?
Yeah, I don't think you really have to, you know, the best times while playing is when your mind is clear. You don't want to be thinking like, oh, I'm trying to save the world today,
right,
or anything like that. You know, it's, you know, you just got to kind of do your thing. And we do it because we love it. It's never been anything but that, you know.
Yeah.
Certainly not in it for the money. And, you know, and for someone like myself, I have to play a lot, and, you know, I don't get to come home to Belleville as much as I'd like to, just because, you know, I've got to work every weekend. All my friends only have weekends off, and
right,
you know, I'm like, hey, I'm free Monday to Wednesday. What can you do? And like, we work, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm a pipe fitter.
Yeah, I mean, like, or whatever, and, you know, that's great, but I just, you know, my line of work, it's, you know, I got to be working all the time, and there's not a lot of time for, you know, vacations and stuff like that is almost a non-thing. But, you know, when you're out on the road, you know, I'd probably say 250 days a year, the last thing you want to do is not be home. The last thing I want to see is another airport when I have some time off.
Who was the favorite? I don't want to ask the most famous, because I think fame is kind of one of those, it's not that important, but is there somebody that you've met in what you've done where you've looked at them and said, yeah, they've got it figured out. They've got the authentic, true, down to earth reason of why we're doing this. Because I mean, I'm sure you've crossed paths with everybody and anybody that's been in music in one level or another. Is there somebody that you say, whether they're famous or not, this person's got it figured out?
I mean, I don't think just because you mentioned his name, but Kim Mitchell and Peter Fredette, I just love running into them on the road. They're always in a good mood. They put on an incredible show, and, you know, that's the kind of thing I've always wanted. You know, I want to have fun no matter what I'm doing, and, you know, and a success like he's had, you know, he can kind of tour as much or as little as he wants, I think. And, you know, it's really amazing to kind of watch them do their thing. And, you know, you just see them backstage. They're like, hey, Chris, how you doing?
Yeah.
You know, there's no attitude or anything. And, you know, everybody's welcome. Yeah, I'd say Kim Mitchell and Peter Fredette are really, you know, inspiring to that end.
And finally, have you been over to the Picton? It used to be just called the Picton Airstrip, but have you been over to Base 31 either to see a show or perform yet?
I played there with Colin a couple of years ago, and we do like there's a bunch of different variations of the band, like up to like 7 or 8 piece band, 5 piece band. 4 piece band, duo or trio, and we did a trio there, and it's kind of a more softy theater, like Empire Theater. It's kind of our perfect sort of space for that, and I kind of wish we had done a full band thing at the Base, but it was a really, really cool venue, and it's cool to be back sort of home.
Rock 107 is thrilled to be welcoming Big Wreck to Base 31 and the hometown show for the Quinte region's own Chris Cadell. I really appreciate you taking the chance to chat ahead of the show. Lucky to have you, and look forward to seeing you during the meet and greets coming up in a few weeks.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. I look forward to coming back home.